A Wisconsin appeals court has ruled that a convicted child sex offender from Racine County cannot be placed in Fond du Lac County after all. The District 2 Court of Appeals has determined that Preston Rintamaki's petition for supervised release was still pending prior to a Racine judge's order that placed Rintamaki at a Town of El Dorado residence on Nitschke Road in November of last year. Joining us on the program, Fond du Lac County District Attorney Eric Toney. Good morning, Eric.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure having you on the program. So, in effect, does this mean that Mr. Rintamaki goes back to his home county of Racine?
That's what our expectation will be. As you noted, the issue in this case was that the Wisconsin legislature passed Act 184, I think it was in 2017, that essentially said if a petition was pending that the person had to go back to their home county. But what it's a two-step process before someone is released from the Sandridge Treatment Center. The first step is a court granting or saying, okay, I'm granting your supervised release. And then the second step is the court determining where that placement would be. And so in Rintamaki's circumstance, his supervised release petition had been granted, but the placement of where he would go had not been determined by the court. So the Racine Circuit Court in that circumstance said that the petition was no longer pending because the supervised release had been granted despite placement not being ordered. The Court of Appeals made pretty short work of it, essentially saying that just by a plain definition of the word pending, that this was still pending and the petition had not been finalized, and therefore Act 184 applied, meaning that Rintamaki must be placed in Racine County through the procedures established by the legislature. So what I expect we'll be asking the court to do in Racine is have Rintamaki removed from the town of El Dorado and then placed in Sandridge to allow the Racine County officials to do the work they need to do to find placement for him in that county. The circuit court is where the case goes back to, so that court has to make findings and decisions before any change in placement can occur.
Rintamaki's been at the Nitschke Road residence for approximately 1 year.
I don't recall when the specific placement began, but yeah, it's been a number of months.
Right. I think it's been about a year. Let me ask you this. Have there been any problems to your knowledge with him at that residence?
I don't know because I'm not part of the supervision process through the Department of Health Services and the monitors that they send over there. So if it didn't result in a criminal referral, it's not something I would necessarily be aware of if there were issues with his compliance or treatment or things of that nature. And this is just another line of, the appeal was led by Matt Parmentier, the attorney for the town of El Dorado, and our corporation counsel, Megan McNamara. They did a really nice job leading the efforts on the appeal, and we've just had a great countywide team that Sheriff Fink started and assembled when he was the sheriff, and Sheriff Walshmit has assisted on, and the support we've gotten from so many of our officials, and just a really big win for the town of El Dorado and the people over there, that have really been so passionate, rightfully so, that we don't want these violent sex offenders in our community. However, we recognize if they are from Fond du Lac County, we're going to have to take them. And I really, applaud our community. They've really taken ownership of that. And that's a credit to the people we have living here. Not that we necessarily want those folks out, but we have to follow the law.
All right. Well, I know you've said in the past, and I know the Corporation Council has said that you believe the placement of Rintamaki and other out-of-county, the attempted placement of other out-of-county child sex offenders and sex offenders at that location have been made because the state knows that that house is rented specifically for sex offenders. So do you think this appeals court decision will have any impact on the attempts to make future placements like this at that house?
I don't think we're going to see future out-of-county placement attempts in Fond du Lac County. So I don't know if there'll be an effort to, have the Supreme Court review this, but that may be, just from a common sense standpoint, unlikely because the legislature passed a bill that would clarify this very issue and remove the ability of courts to do this. And So we're expecting that hopefully this is the last battle in Fond du Lac County we're going to have to fight in one of these circumstances. We've traveled as a team to Marinette County, Washington County, Milwaukee County, Racine County, and there have been other attempts to place folks from other counties here that our sheriffs have dealt with and the rest of us. So, we've really invested a lot of time into this, and I'm really grateful for the work of our legislators, Senators Fayen, Thiesfeld, Schrah, some of those that have really listened to our concerns and helped address these issues. We're really appreciative of their support as well.
How much of a pain in the butt has it been for you realizing Fond du Lac County has been in the bullseye simply because of this one house?
Well, it's a double-edged sword, because when these folks are granted supervised release, if at some point they're not released, there could be a constitutional challenge to this Chapter 980 law, and that's not something we want to see, because without it, the alternative is when these folks are released from prison, there's no other than maybe some type of probation or extended supervision, there's really not a protection for the community. So this is an added layer of supervision. So as distasteful as it may be that landlords may rent these houses, if they weren't doing that and we didn't have areas to place them, then this would likely have been declared unconstitutional because they couldn't have been released. And so it's kind of a double-edged sword in that regard.
Overall, your reaction to the appeals court decision, you have to be pleased with it.
I can say I'm very pleased, and I think everybody, Corporation Counsel McNamara and Attorney Parmentier, Gary Miller, on the town board of El Dorado, and so many others over there have invested so much time and energy into this, and we felt that the legal position we took was correct, and we're pleased that the Court of Appeals agreed with that, and it just helps keep our community a little bit safer. And although it's taken a lot of time out of many of our days to do this, we all knew it was the right thing, and we're always willing to do that. And I just really appreciate everybody that kind of banded together. And, we had folks from El Dorado writing letters and getting on a bus to go to Washington County and, call our legislators. And they really showed their concern for this issue in their community. And so it's really also a credit to the folks in the town of El Dorado and our county for making their voice heard. And it just goes to show, I think, sometimes people feel like they're just one person and one voice and they can't make a difference, but they can. And I just would encourage people, whatever issue it might be, your voice matters, your opinion matters, make that call, send that email, visit your legislators, contact my office if you think we can be of assistance, but just remember your voice matters.
All right. This week, Governor Tony Evers signed a Republican bill that stiffens penalties for drunken drivers who kill someone. The measure creates a mandatory minimum sentence of 5 years in prison for anyone convicted of homicide by intoxicated use of a vehicle. Judges can sentence someone to less than 5 years if he or she finds a compelling reason. The Fond du Lac judges don't like to be told how much they have to sentence someone to. Each case is handled on its own merits, but what are your thoughts on this bill?
Well, I don't think no judge necessarily likes to be told this is what you have to recommend, and the other fact of the matter is that it puts some restrictions on what a prosecutor can or cannot recommend as well. But drunken driving deaths and drunken driving in general certainly presents a serious risk to the law-abiding people that are driving or walking or wherever it may be on our roadways. And so putting some added protection and letting drivers know, absent some extraordinarily compelling circumstance, you're going to prison is not necessarily a bad thing. And in most circumstances, I think the majority of our courts are sending people to prison in these circumstances. And so there are probably those limited circumstances where they're not. So the net effect is this may not impact that many cases, but there certainly will be some. And I don't recall if this was the bill that maybe had an exception if somebody was a passenger in the vehicle.
The one bill that the legislature just for whatever reason refuses to take up is criminalizing a first offense. Wisconsin's the only state that doesn't do that. What do you make of that?
There are some states that it's a criminal offense, but there isn't necessarily jail that gets attached to it. And then there are certain ways to avoid some of those otherwise criminal penalties that come along with it. And Whether that would be a deterrent or not, I'm not sure. Certainly, you know, stiffer penalties on drunken and drug driving are always something that we need to look at based on the harm and havoc that they cause. And when someone loses a loved one, and they should still be here because people make irresponsible decisions. But, you know, sometimes we can make all the laws we want, but it won't change people's behavior. And one of the things that I see in most of the drunk driving cases that we prosecute is that they're often, you know, otherwise good, decent people that didn't intend to go out and drink and drive on that particular day. And the common phrase you might hear them say is, "I felt fine." And it's just important for drivers to understand doesn't matter how you feel. 0.08 is a standard that doesn't change based on how you feel. You might get acclimated to alcohol a little better, but 0.08 doesn't change, and it doesn't mean it doesn't impair your function. And that's what people really need to focus on, is how much they've been drinking, not how they feel. And they can really avoid OWI circumstances if they just pay attention to that and say, you know what, I need a ride home. Take the Uber, call the cab, call a friend, whoever it might be, have them pick you up.
Fond du Lac County District Attorney Eric Toney, we greatly appreciate you joining us on the program.
Thank you very much, Greg.